On Monday, journalists in Kabul were informed by the Ministry of Justice that they would be operating under a new rule: no more live coverage of terrorist attacks. In fact, reporters aren't even supposed to go near the scene of an attack. This new policy comes amid increasing violence in Kabul, such as last Friday's suicide bombing in the heart of the city.
Taliban fighters attacked central Kabul shortly after dawn this morning.
A squad of bombers struck two guest houses, the intent to kill as many foreigners as possible.
Another blast, civilians flee to safety.
The stated reasons for the ban: live coverage could expose police movements, could jeopardize security, and could embolden attackers by allowing them to bask in the media spotlight. Also, the ban protects journalists by keeping them safe from stray gunshots or shrapnel. But so far, the decision has been met with resounding criticism from journalists and free press advocates. Saad Mosseini heads the Mobi Media Group, which runs one of Afghanistan's most popular TV stations, Tolo TV. Mosseini says that in recent days, even some in the government have distanced themselves from the coverage ban, saying it was the unsanctioned work of a few individuals in the security forces and not an official decree. Meanwhile, journalists continue to work in the midst of the confusion. As Mosseini explains, the new rules are both vague and all-encompassing.
This applies not just to Afghan media, but it applies to international media as well, such as CNN, NPR, and Reuters and AP.
Let me see if I understand this. If there is a bombing, for example, then there is, of course, an aftermath. If ABC or CBS or your cameras show up and report live from the aftermath of an incident, they will be subject to having their cameras confiscated and to being jailed?
According to this letter, yes. And according to the verbal warnings that our journalists have received, that's correct. When they say a terrorist act, they don't actually specify what that entails. As far as the government is concerned, it could last 24 hours. So we have to seek the approval of the intelligence agency before filming, even after the incident was over. And if we decided to film without their permission, that our person be locked up and equipment confiscated.
The pretext for this ruling was to protect security forces. Do you think that was what the government had in mind?
No, I think it's just that they don't want to be seen as a bunch of novices or amateurs. We are Afghans. We care about the security of this nation. Of course, we're not going to give away operational secrets. You have to understand that in the past, coverage of these types of incidents have exposed the security forces' vulnerabilities and their weaknesses and their lack of professionalism. And I think that that's what concerns the government. For example, when we had a situation a few weeks back, when we had a major avalanche in the north of Afghanistan, there were reports, and we did, of course, cover these, of police officers emptying the pockets of dead victims, or officials neglecting half-dead individuals, assuming that they were dead, they'd just been frozen. So, of course, this concerns the government. But as a media organization, we have to cover these sorts of things. How could we not?
It's fair to assume that coverage of bombings does a kind of propaganda favor for the Taliban. Do you think the government just doesn't want to give the enemy the opportunity to parade its successes on live TV?
When 9/11 happened, would you have expected CNN to stop its transmissions of the Twin Towers getting hit? The situation is no different. The public demands to know what's going on. And you have to understand also that in a city the size of Kabul, you can't avoid hearing the explosions and the gunfire. The public doesn't want to watch this because they're bored. They want to watch what's going on because they need to know. They have kids at school. They have partners at work. People get very, very stressed, not knowing. The government could use this medium to reassure the public. It can cordon off the area to ensure that the media doesn't get too close, but it cannot ban the media. You cannot kill the messenger.
I'm wondering, based on the message and the warnings that you got, have you changed your coverage at all?
No, of course not. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we will do what's right for the Afghan public. It's difficult for all media organizations and for journalists to abide by the wishes of the government. This goes even in the U.S., but I think that now we're starting to see some common sense prevail, and discussions we've had with senior government officials, including the Minister for Information and Culture, indicates that the president wishes for this issue to be resolved amicably, and it seems to us also that the president probably never endorsed this ban. This ban was probably the working of one or two individuals within the security apparatus. But at the same time, we cannot accept such a ban.
Do you think the Afghan government is concerned about only the Afghan audience, or are they concerned about images reaching the rest of the world?
Well, you have to understand that the Afghan state is a heavily subsidized state. And, of course, viewers in the U.S. and the U.K. as well as Europe can ultimately determine how much assistance Afghanistan gets and so forth. And, of course, they don't want to be seen as weak, inept, disorganized and corrupt. And I think that's why it's very important for them also to have some sort of a say as far as what goes out to the outside world.
Saad, thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend.
Saad Mohseini is director of the Mobi Media Group. He joined us from Kabul.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.